Well, good morning, and from my side, love to be here with you this morning, wishing you a very happy new year. I really love this service, the first Sunday of the year. I know, like, kind of sometimes this service is a little more low-key, guys are kind of just getting back into maybe the New Year celebrations are going on, slowly coming back to church. You're all here, though. Thank you. That's awesome. It's probably guys online at home as well, but it's kind of often quite low-key. We can kind of just get through this one and build towards opening weekend later in the month. But actually, I love this service because I think there's such value to kind of having this sort of New Year's spirit of pausing and reflecting on the year that was and kind of just trying to get our heads around the new year. So I know there's like lots of different views on New Year's resolutions, pro, you know, for them, against them, whatever. You know, I think we all know by now, we've lived long enough to know there's nothing magical. When that calendar changes from the 31st to the 1st, it's not like the world resets and it behaves on the 1st. It doesn't happen with my kids, man. So it's like, there's no sense of the natural order keeps to like a Gregorian kind of calendar and the 1st, man, all of a sudden, pandemic's gone. And at the end of 2020, we're like, oh, it's over. And then, well, it wasn't over. You know what I mean? So I think we all know that. There's nothing magical about the change of date, but I really do believe strongly in the idea of seasons. And by that, I don't mean like geological summer, winter, although that too, but I mean more like rhythms of life. So like these rhythms and these opportunities based on kind of what we're going through to do certain things. And New Year's is kind of a season. It really is a great chance to pause and to reflect and get our heads around what's coming up in the year ahead. So I always try in kind of the first sermon of the year to just really think about that and go, like, what is it that maybe I'm really thinking about holding on to an idea or a passage in the new year? And so I have something, I think, like that this morning. It's not going to sound very New Year-ish for a little while, but bear with me, because I think what we're going to talk about today is something it's important for me. It's become important for me. I think you're going to see in the church year, it's going to have a place of prominence, and hopefully you'll find that it's really important for you too. So we are looking this morning at Mark chapter 4. So you've all got your fingers ready from Ezra. You're like, man, is that in the Bible? So now your fingers are ready. You're like in your Bibles. Turn to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, there's a couple of parables. One of the parables is one of Jesus' most famous, probably up there with, if not more well-known, even than the Good Samaritan. So really well-known parable that most of you will know it well. But we're not actually going to go into any detail in the parable. What we're doing this morning is having a look at some of the detail around the parables in Mark chapter 4. So we're pretty much going to make our way in pieces through the whole chapter. So here we go. I'm reading from Mark 4, verse 1 to 9, and I'll start, and then when the parable starts, it'll come up on the screen. So if you've got Bibles, it'll be helpful to just read along with me. And I'm reading from different translation this morning, NET. Here we go. Mark 4, verse 1. Again, he, Jesus, began to teach by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the lake and sat there while the whole crowd was on the shore by the lake. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teachings said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, so it sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it did not have sufficient root, it withered. Other seed fell among the thorns, and they grew up and choked it, and it did not produce grain. But other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, sprouting and growing. Some yielded 30 times as much, some 60, some 100 times. And Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear had better listen." All right, we're going to pause right there for now. And we're just noticing a few things. We're not doing any deep dives this morning. We're just noticing a few things. And I want you to notice that this entire parable, perhaps Jesus's most famous, at least one of his most famous, is very clearly bookended by an instruction to listen. You see that there? The very first word is listen. And then it ends with, whoever has ears to hear had better listen. So the book ended. This is not an accident. This parable of Jesus is framed by a call to listen. And that's where we're going this morning. That's all really, that's what the message is about. We're going to be talking about listening to Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, man, this oak has spent too much time at home in the past week with his kids. Listen, listen, listen. That is true, but that's not where the sermon comes from. So I was reading through Mark, like slowly, just, you know, earlier last year. And, you know, I read through at least Mark a few times. I really love the Gospel of Mark. I preached through Mark actually before. So very familiar with it, but reading through it slowly. And I suddenly came across that last phrase again, whoever has ears to listen had better listen. And kind of reading it fresh translation, I'm like, oh man, let's have a look at that. Some of the more traditional translations would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The he better listen is a better sense of what Jesus is saying here. Whoever has ears to listen had better listen. So I get to that phrase and like, okay, that's kind of Jesus. That's a little marker. That's Jesus. He's teaching and everything he says is important. But when Jesus says something really important, then he's like, whoever has ears to hear, better hear. Like, pay attention. Hope you all paid attention. Hope you guys wrote that one down because that one was really important, right? So it's kind of like that phrase, he has ears to hear, better listen, is like Jesus, like a mic drop moment, like boom, you know? That was an important one. And that's what I'm thinking in my mind. Like, that's what the phrase means. It's just like, hopefully you were paying attention. But then you move on, reading past that little bit. And so let's carry on. So verse 10 to 12, let's read that part. So when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those outside, everything is in parables, so that although they look, they may look but not see. And although they hear, they may hear but not understand, so they may not repent and be forgiven. Some tricky stuff here. But basically, the disciples are asking Jesus about all these parables. And notice, again, we're just noticing a few concepts. We're not going to get into the tricky stuff. But notice, he doesn't explain the parable yet. What he first does, doesn't go into, here's what the parable means. He's going to do that. But first, he talks about why he speaks in parables. Hold on to that. That is going to be important. But he does it by quoting the Old Testament. Jesus knew his Bible really well. And he quotes from Isaiah 6, verse 9. And notice that quote has similar words to he who has ears had better listen. It is, they will hear, but they won't understand. It's going to go in, but it's not going to take root. In other words, we're going through going, aha, so maybe the he who has ears to listen, he has ears had better listen, isn't just a that was important, hope you paid attention. We're looking going, well, that's a reference to something in the Old Testament. Maybe it's larger than that. Maybe this is a standalone principle on its own. And in fact, then if you start thinking in the Old Testament, you go, oh, wait, hang on. The most famous commandment in the Old Testament starts like this. Hear, O Israel, hear, as in listen, hear, listen. The Lord your God, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. That's the most famous, most repeated commandment in the Old Testament. Starts with listen. So like, okay, maybe there's more to it than just a mic drop moment. That's all I want you to notice. Perhaps we're onto a principle on its own that has to do with listening. Let's read on. Verse 13 to 20. I'm not going to read this whole bit. This is Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. I know a lot of you are very familiar with it, but just now he's explaining it. And oh, what do we find? Turns out the parable itself is also about listening. There's an emphasis again on hearing. Verse 15, whenever they hear. Verse 16, the second soil, as soon as they hear the word. Verse 18, the third soil, others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word. And then the good soil in the parable of the four soils, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word and receive it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100. Whoa, turns out the parable itself, we're not even going to get into the detail of the parable, this is quite obvious. The parable itself is about a way of listening to Jesus that can either bear fruit in your life or not bear fruit at all. That's what it's about. So this is all we're doing, is we're noticing that this idea of listening, paying attention to Jesus himself and the teachings of Jesus seems to be a big deal. It's not only the point of the parable, it's in the detail around the parable. You getting this? But wait, there's more. Carry on reading, verse 21 to 31. So now you carry on reading and now you're into another parable. It's a parable about a lamp and about not putting a lamp under a cover because that's daft. I mean, a lamp's supposed to be out shining. And we're all like, oh, we got this one, right? Because if you've read through the Bible like a little bit, it's certainly, if you've been around church a bit, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, Jesus teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, they were like, yeah, yeah, we know this one, right? For you are a city on a hill shining in the night for all to see, Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16. We know this is about good works and church vision statements, lots of church vision statements, Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16. We're like, okay, we get this one. Now we're not talking about listening anymore. Now we're talking about good works. Well, are we? Let's read. Let's have a look. Verse 21 to 23. He also said to them, a lamp isn't brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Isn't it to be placed on a lampstand? We're like, yeah, it's coming. The city on hill. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed and nothing concealed except to be brought to light. And then this. If anyone has ears to hear, he had better listen. We're like, man, there it is again. Is that the mic drop moment? So now we're confused again. We'll carry on. Verse 24 to 25. This is our last little bit of reading. The end of this section. Right after that, he says, and Jesus said to them, take care about what you hear. The measure you use, or the way you listen, will be the measure you receive. And more will be added to you. For whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. So we're getting this now, right? Yes, there's tricky bits in this sequence here in Mark 4, but what we're getting is that this is a parable about hearing and listening, and woven around it is some very strong wording. At the very least, we can say that. Some instructions, warnings, / commands about listening to Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Listening to Jesus in 2022. Now, this may sound, again, like a bit of a strange way to like get started with the year, but I have a feeling it's more than that. Let me be a little more convincing. I have a belief that if we can take care of this, really take care of what seems to be quite an emphatic instruction about paying attention to Jesus and the teaching of Jesus, if we can pay attention to this and find ourselves keeping close company with listening to Jesus in 2022, we're going to be okay, no matter what happens. Because ultimately, we all know we're going to face another very uncertain year. But if we're keeping close company with Jesus and listening to him, no matter what happens, we're going to be okay. Heard a quote once by author Dallas Willard. I've quoted a few times, but I love this statement. He says, there is no problem for which discipleship to Jesus is not the ultimate solution. Let me say that again. Like, if there's one thing you can take away from this, take away these words. There is no problem for which discipleship to Jesus is not the ultimate solution. That's why this makes for New Year's Day message. And by discipleship to Jesus, what we really mean is keeping close company with following at its heart really does mean paying attention to, listening to, appropriating into our life the message of Jesus, which is more than just his teachings, is everything about his life. That's ultimately what discipleship to Jesus means. If we've got that, there's no problem for which we will not have a solution if we're keeping close company with Jesus this year. Does that sound credible? Yes? So let's talk about how do we do this. So I've just got four things for you on kind of I'm processing as to kind of what this could mean. Like, how do we listen to Jesus? What does that mean in the context? And so I'm going to draw just a couple of things out of some of the detail in this passage. So number one is quite a very obvious implication of this, is to say this. Number one, question, who are you listening to? That's just kind of a obvious one. In other words, will you be listening to Jesus? Now, of course I know, they're going to listen to hundreds, thousands of voices this year. I mean, of course, our family members, our spouse at school, our teachers, our friends at work, our colleagues, our bosses, everybody on the radio, everybody on every TV show that you watch, every artist that you listen to. I mean, thousands of voices we're going to be listening to this year. So I suppose the question really is, whose voice will you give authority to this year? That's actually what I'm asking. We're going to listen to tons of voices naturally. Which voice is going to carry the most authority this year? Because you can't walk away from Mark 4 with a sense of like, this is the most important listening. Pay attention to what you hear, Jesus says. Be careful about what you're listening to. It makes a very strong case if pay attention to me, keep company with me, apprentice yourself to me is going to lead to growth and fruitfulness. So really, will the voice, the person, the message, i.e. the gospel of Jesus, carry authority and rise above all the other voices in your life this year? And of course we say, yes, yes, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I'm not going to sing. David and Jenny sing way better than me. Of course, Kate and Brood, etc. too. But we'll say that, of course, you can say, yes, Jesus has final authority as a voice in my life. And yet we listen to the news and we hear about what's happening and it immediately induces fear and panic and anxiety and triggers panicked responses in us. And it's like the voice of Jesus, who's reassuring us as the good shepherd who's in control of everything and loves us and will guide us and will provide for us, that disappears, if we're honest. The emotional response to the other voices, the overhyped media news voices, if we're honest, carries more authority. If that's triggering in us, if that's causing, and the voice of Jesus isn't rising above that, if we're honest. So we can say it's Jesus, but sometimes, is it really? Is his voice going to be the one carrying the most authority in your life this year? This is a good time of year to be thinking about this and making, I don't know, resolutions. Maybe it's not a good word for everybody, but at least carrying a conviction about this. As I head into this next year, there's going to be thousands of voices. I need to make sure that I'm paying attention, that this voice carries the most authority. For me, just want to say one last thing. I know this is a bit of a hobby horse for me, but you'll have to deal with it. It is an astounding feature of modern Christianity how much authority we give to all the other hundreds and thousands of voices, most of them completely ridiculous, like your Facebook timeline and social media. How much authority we get. I don't have a problem with that being a voice. I mean, not against like social media, but in terms of how much authority we get, it's ridiculous how much authority we as Christians give all the other voices and not the person and voice of Jesus. Let me leave it there before I have my own heart attack. Second, is listening to Jesus a priority? Now, I know that's in the first one, priority above other voices. But what I mean here is the actual act of paying attention to, is that going to be a priority in our lives this year? Because the reality is it takes some work. It takes some intentionality. It means having time to read scripture. It means having time to pray. It means making time to come to church. You all got off to a great start. Well done. It means making time to have godly conversations with Christian friends or Christian community groups. It means taking time to read good literature. Like, there's intentionality here. Is it a priority in the circumstances of our life, the voice of Jesus? If it really is that authoritative, we need to make time for it. So this is simple New Year's resolution stuff. Cool. Yes, take note. But actually what I want to get to is a little warning that was here in this parable. I'm just pulling out one of them because I think it's quite a warning that is relevant for us now. So it's the seed sown among the thorns. Remember that bit? Let's jump to verse 18 to 19. Others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear. They hear the word, but worldly cares. Just hang on those two words. Worldly cares and the seductiveness of wealth and the desire for other things, i.e. worldly cares, comes in and choke the word and it produces nothing. Just quick summary here. You guys really know what that's about, but the reality that Jesus is teaching here is that our ability to listen in a way that this actual fruitfulness is severely compromised by an over-concern to the material world. Can I summarize it like that? Our ability to listen, meaning to really appropriate in a fruitful way the life of Jesus, is severely compromised by an over-concern with the material world. And I think we have to kind of draw this out at the beginning of the year, because if you are in a habit of New Year thinking about the year ahead, which I love, most likely a lot of our thinking is around planning, thoughts, decisions around some of these worldly cares. Nothing wrong with that. But is part of your thinking and planning for this most important thing about being able to pay attention to, in a meaningful way, the voice and person of Jesus? Let me leave that one there. Number three. So it gets a little bit deeper. Is your posture of listening open? So if you really want to get to the bottom of this whole Mark 4, which really is this expanded teaching in various ways about listening, you want to get to the bottom of it, best place is the parable and is the good soil. So you read that last little bit like, okay, just focus there. So let's read that again. These are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word and receive it and bear fruit. 30, 60, and 100. Notice they hear and receive the word. What does that mean? That's got to be important. They hear it. This is the good soil. This one works. The other three fail. These ones hear and receive. What does it mean to receive the word? Maybe it means something like accept. Yes? Well, yes. Interesting. Let's get a little bit geeky for a second here. If you have to go and look behind, like take this little word for receive, and you know, there's the Greek language behind this, and look how else it's used. It's fascinating. Here's an instance, often used like this, where the word means to welcome, as in you welcome guests into your home. You open the door and you greet them, you bring them inside, you serve them coffee, good coffee if you're a good host, you know, like, welcome. It's hard to use. So for example, Acts 15 verse 4, Paul and Barnabas go to Jerusalem. We read, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church. It's like this, an act of hospitality, taking something in with joy, nurturing it, engaging with it. That's the kind of listening. That's a different kind of posture. An open posture, not a closed posture. In other words, it's not obligation. You know, like some of the guests you had at Christmas time, they were just there because you had to have them. You didn't really want them there, you know, speaking, you know, hypothetically, you know. But like, that's just, you know, it's duty, it's obligation. That's not welcoming. That's what's behind this word. What's behind this word is this openness, this inviting in, this engaging with, this receiving, it's more receiving, accepting. It's hospitable listening. It's the opposite to obligation, like, man, he's got to do this. It's different. It's also the opposite to hostile listening. So maybe there was that guest that
that came in. I really am being hypothetical here, by the way. I had no such guests over Christmas time. But maybe there are guests coming in and like, okay, it's obligation, but you be nice. Maybe you're like, you really didn't want them there and you want them to know, but like not by causing a ruckus on Christmas. So, you know, you kind of just, I don't know, offer everyone else drinks, but not them. Say, oh, I forgot, you know, or like, I don't know, give them the burnt piece of meat. Or if you really don't like them, the undercooked piece of chicken meat, then, you know, it's like real passive aggressive stuff. So like there's a hostility as well. Now, that's a bit silly, but the point is hospitable listening. The reality is it's opposite to hostile listening. Now this context, Mark 4 comes after, this is not rocket science, Mark 3. And in Mark 3 is about the religious leaders rejecting the words of Jesus. This is what happens all the time with Jesus. He speaks, he exists, he does things. It's either received, welcomed, appreciated, embraced, appropriated, or it's just rejected completely with hostility. That happens. That's been the history of God revealing himself to humanity since the beginning, either acceptance or rejection. Be careful. I know I'm not speaking to many people here, but it's in the text, so I've got to talk about this. And maybe it's some people. Be careful about a hostile posture. You can be really engaged with Jesus, but the point is to find fault with him, to criticize. You've decided already you're not for him. And you really, they're just people who study Jesus, know him well, better than like pastors. But the point is to disprove him or discredit him. Hostile, very engaged, but hostile. Jesus has strong warnings here. It's the curious thing about those outside and those inside. But basically, he's not saying that those outside are denied the possibility of believing. What he's saying is so long as unbelief continues, the opportunity for being further instructed in the mysteries of the kingdom fall away. In other words, there are consequences to being closed to the message of Jesus, or worse, to being hostile to the message of Jesus. The appropriate posture is hospitable. Welcome. Those you hear and welcome it, it takes root and bears fruit. Now, that doesn't mean we be naive. That doesn't mean we don't question anything. And we'll get into that in a moment. But there's just a difference about coming to Jesus to fight with him versus you believe there's something there and you're still figuring it out. Let me leave that there. Last one. Are you actively listening? So twice Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear had better listen. So the reality is just having ears on the side of your head doesn't mean you're listening. This might be TMI, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm busy thinking about this New Year's sermon. Oh, all the pressure because it's the New Year's sermon, you know. And this just had been with me like for a long time. And like, I think there's something here, but I wasn't quite sure. And then I don't know if you've like noticed, maybe those at home did, but I got like this, my ear and my mountain bike became very intimately acquainted in an unplanned way in the past week, which is why I can't wear the mic around my ear. Anyway, so I'm literally like wrestling with this thing and like, you know, just because you have ears doesn't mean you can listen. And I'm like, shall I preach on this? And I look in the mirror and I've got this like banging ear. I'm like, that's a sign. Got to talk about this fact. That was a joke. That's me trying to give some divine cause to a stupid thing. Anyway, the point of it is really what Jesus means, this idiom is just because you have them on the side of your head doesn't mean you're receiving, doesn't mean you're listening. It's just an interesting metaphor because it's different to eyes. Like your eyes have eyelids. Like if you don't want to see, just do this. Like you're watching a movie and you're like, oh no, you know, you just close your eyes. But how do you stop listening? I mean, right now, like if you wanted to stop listening to me, like you can't. Like your ears are just open all the time. And they're multi-directional. So like with eyes, if I'm going to like look, like I want to look at Dob, like I actually have to turn my head and then I'm like, okay, I'm engaged. I'm looking at him. You have to be intentional with your sight to actually fix on something. Open your eyes. That's how eyes work. Ears are always open and multi-directional. In other words, the point is, what Jesus means is there's an active engagement. Just having the background doesn't mean fruitfulness.
having the teachings of Jesus just there and around and from it, pulling a few anecdotes. Like, it just doesn't make for good past background listening, basically. Jesus and his way of teaching, his way of leading us, invites participation. And what I mean by that is, let me just kind of end with this, a little thing here on parables. Why did Jesus speak so much in parables? Verse 34 says, he did not speak to them without a parable. These aren't cute stories. This is Jesus' strategic means of instructing people. Why parables? Let me tell you why. Because a parable takes work. It takes work. It's not easy. A parable doesn't make things easier. A parable makes things harder because it requires your participation. You can hear a parable of Jesus and go, oh man, a sower falls. Okay, cool. But if you want to find out what it means, it's an invitation. But you've got to get into it. You've got to engage with it. You've got to tear the little bits of the parable apart. You've got to go, does it mean this? Does it mean this? Parable isn't easy teaching, and I feel like Christianity, a lot of it today, is just a desire for like a bit of a background, Jesus happening and some Christian music and a few things, and maybe I'll pull a few anecdotes that I can put on a mug and give as a Christmas gift or bumper sticker, like anecdotal Christianity. Whereas Jesus' means of teaching is through parables. You just can't do that. Like, it's hard work. It's an invitation. It's like, if you want to grow, if you want to find out, then I'm inviting you into this. That's what a parable is. It keeps the message at a distance. It's not obvious. You have to be open, interested, engaged, if you want it to work. In other words, a parable is an invitation. Last little technical thing. Turns out, I'm still thinking about this, but turns out a parable, Jesus' use of parables is actually a parable in itself, because that's how he works. Right? I heard this saying that I love. The truth of God is not an alien invasion or a hostile takeover, but a loving courtship. The kingdom of God does not come by force. It's not just going to come and wrest you away without you having anything to do with it. The way it's designed is invitation. Like, there's enough there for those who want to hear, for those who want to draw close to the life of Jesus. The opportunity's right there. You've been given the secrets. I'll tell you, Jesus said. Why? Because they asked him. They wanted to know. But if you don't want to know, then that's fine. You can just walk right past the parables and have absolutely no clue what it's about. Such is the kingdom of God too. You can have this year as much of God as you want. That's an A.W. Tozer quote about the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to expand. You can have as much of God as you want. There's a strong invitation here, but it's not going to come passively. And it's not going to come easily, because it's an invitation to engage, not just glean a few bumper sticker quotes that you can put on your wall that's going to guide you through 2022. It won't. Aphorisms, cute quotes, sentences, great. But that's not going to hold us in 2022. But paying attention to Jesus himself will hold us no matter what happens in 2022. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is amazing. You, our God, this God that exists in three persons yet is one, that you desire to communicate with us, but not just talk to us, to invite us into conversation, relationship, a way of life that involves walking alongside you consistently. That is just a stunning thought. And if we're honest, we sometimes just rather you give us a set of instructions and we carry on our way. But that's not your heart. Your heart is you love us and are drawing us into relationship to keep company with you, to learn from you, to be changed into you in the context of this close relationship. And that's just a stunning thought. We admit and confess that it goes beyond us sometimes. But as we pause at the beginning of this year, we know there's truth here. Something in us tells us this is right. That keeping close company with you, apprenticing ourselves to you, following you, listening to you, appropriating your teachings, your life, your being in the, through the mediation of your Holy Spirit will center us, will guide us no matter what happens. So help us. We're not very good at listening. If we're honest, we like to have your voice around and have it in the background. But sometimes it takes too much work. Sometimes the other voices are more appealing. Help us. We know this is right. Our good shepherd, Jesus, would you speak to us and lead us in a way that we can discern and follow this year? Amen.